Welcome to Bible Talk, the program that gives Bible answers to Bible questions. This program is brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. Your speaker is Lynn Huggins, preacher with the St. James Church of Christ.
The churches of the first century followed the teachings of Jesus Christ as that teaching was made known to them by the apostles and prophets. Acts 2 and verse 42 says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." The apostles' doctrine was the teaching of the apostles as they were guided by the Holy Spirit. The early church continued steadfastly in this teaching. There were also prophets who were guided by the Holy Spirit in their teaching. And we know that what the apostles and prophets taught was the doctrine of Christ, since the Holy Spirit took the things of Christ and made it known to the apostles and prophets. Read John 16, verses 12 through 15. And so the first local churches were established, and their beliefs and practices were set in order by the teachings of the apostles and prophets. Now, they were to abide in this teaching if they were to be true disciples of Christ. Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, "If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed." John 8 and verse 31. They were not to add to or take from His words. Read Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. And so whatever the early churches did in worship, in their organization, whatever they taught people to do to be saved, whatever they taught by way of doctrine, whatever they did by way of their mission, were all set in order by the teaching of the apostles and prophets. Paul said to the church in Ephesus, "Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone." Ephesians 2 and verse 20. And so if we today are going to be true disciples of Christ, a true church that belongs to Christ, we must abide in His teaching as has been made known to us through the teachings of the apostles and prophets of the first century. This teaching has been preserved for us in the Bible. But what must we do when we come to realize that we have departed from what the Lord revealed to the apostles and prophets in the first century? When we have added to and taken from His word, what must we do? Well, we must practice restoration. In the lesson today, I want to emphasize the importance of practicing restoration when we depart from the teaching of the apostles and prophets, and really the need for restoration in every generation. The first point I want to make is that the apostles and prophets of the first century who wrote the New Testament spoke the same thing in all the churches. The apostles and prophets did not establish one order for this church and a different order for another church. No, they established the same order for all the churches. Paul said to the church in Corinth, "For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." So what Paul taught in one church, he taught in another. Ideally, there would be a sameness in all the churches that you would read about in the New Testament. If you were in Philippi one Sunday, and the next Sunday you were in Thessalonica, and the next Sunday in Ephesus, you would ideally find all those churches teaching the same things, worshiping the same God, and in a similar way. Why? Well, because all of them were established and set in order by the same teaching. Now, the key word here is ideally. The truth is, they were not all the same. Some of the churches had gotten away from the teaching of the apostles, even in the first century. Look with me at a few examples. First of all, the churches of Galatia. They had allowed people to come in and persuade them that Gentiles had to be circumcised according to the law of Moses to be saved. Galatians 1 verse 6 says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel." In chapter 5 verses 4 and 5, it says, "And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace." And so these churches had departed from the gospel that had been preached by the apostles. They had added something to the requirements for salvation. Well, Paul makes it clear in this epistle that there is only one gospel, And it is the gospel that Paul preached to them in the beginning, and the gospel that they had received. Read chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. The original gospel that the apostles preached is the only gospel, and the Galatians needed to return to the original. There was a need for restoration. Also, the church in Corinth had departed from the apostolic pattern for the Lord's Supper. They had gotten so far from the pattern that it was not even the Lord's Supper that they were eating. Paul said to them in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17, "Now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse." Can you imagine our coming together on the Lord's Day, and an apostle guided by the Holy Spirit writes to us and says, "Your coming together is not for the better, but for the worse"? Why? Well, it seems there were two problems in their eating the Lord's Supper. Number one, they were eating it as a common meal. Well, the Lord's Supper is not to satisfy our fleshly appetite, but it is to be partaken of in memory of Christ. And number two, they were divided. There were factions among them, and they were not eating it together. They were not showing regard for one another. Well, this church needed restoration. Well, how would this restoration take place? Well, Paul talks about this in verses 23 through 25. Paul here goes back to the beginning when the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper. Notice what he said in verse 23. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." So Paul reminds them of what the Lord intended for the Lord's Supper to be. It wasn't that they had not been taught. They had been taught the pattern. They had just departed from the pattern, the teaching that they had received. There was a need for restoration. There was a need to go back to the beginning, to go back to what Jesus intended for the Lord's Supper. Well, shortly after the establishment of the church, men departed from the apostolic teaching. For example, shortly after the death of the apostles, there was a departure from the apostolic teaching concerning the organization of the church. In the New Testament, according to the apostolic teaching, each church was instructed to appoint a plurality of co-equal elders who would be the shepherds and bishops or overseers of that church. Now, the elders' oversight was limited to the church of which they were a part. Read 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 3. But after the death of the apostles, churches began to exalt one bishop over the others. Gradually, over a period of time, one bishop became the overseer of several churches, or a diocese of churches. And by the 4th century, there were 5 bishops who had oversight over all the churches. These bishops were located in Jerusalem, Antioch, Alexandria, Constantinople, and Rome. And eventually, the bishop of Rome claimed to be the universal bishop of the church. We know him better as the Pope. Well, we don't read about any of this in the New Testament. All of this was a departure from the apostolic teaching. Over time, other false beliefs and practices were introduced, such as the use of holy water, the Latin Mass, the use of images of saints and martyrs, the doctrine of purgatory, the use of instrumental music in worship, auricular confession, that is, you must confess your sins to a priest, sprinkling for baptism, infant baptism, and there are others. None of these teachings and practices come from the apostolic teaching. They're not found in the Bible. Well, in the 1500s and 1600s, there were those who tried to reform the Roman Catholic Church. This is called the Reformation movement. Some of the reformers were Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Knox, Ulrich Zwingli, John and Charles Wesley, and others. They tried to reform the church of their day. Many of their teachings were true. These were courageous men who made considerable sacrifices to teach what they believed. But out of their work came different denominations with their separate creeds and names and practices. I don't think it was the intention of the reformers to produce such division. They only intended to correct the errors of the church of their day. But for the most part, they did not return to the pattern that was established by the apostles and prophets of the first century. know, if today we're going to be the church of our Lord as He established it and as He intended it to be, what will we have to do? Well, let me illustrate it like this. Suppose that within the next 30 years, the game of baseball was forgotten. Then let us suppose that 100 years from now, someone should accidentally find a rule book for the game of baseball and decided to play the game. The playing field would be arranged and the players would be selected according to the rule book. By following the rules of the book, they could restore the game of baseball. Although no one had seen the game before, they could play exactly as we do today because they would be following the same rules. Well, we have the rule book for the Lord's church. It has been preserved for us. If we are to be the church that Jesus established, we must go back to the Lord's rule book. Paul tried to bring about restoration among the Galatian churches by going back to the gospel he originally preached to them. He tried to restore the proper partaking of the Lord's Supper in the Corinthian church by reminding that church of what Jesus established at the beginning. If Paul was here today, would he fall in line with the denominational doctrines and practices established in their synods or councils or general assemblies? Or would he go back to what was taught by the apostles and prophets at the very beginning of the church? Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 verse 13, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." Paul, in writing to Titus, said that those who are to be elders must hold fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Titus 1 verse 9. The pattern of sound words, the faithful words that we are to hold fast to, is what was given to us by the apostles and prophets in the Bible. If we are going to restore the Lord's church, we must go back to this pattern. Let me close with another illustration. Let's suppose that several years ago someone had built a beautiful house. We used to drive by that house and admire the house and exclaim that it was such a beautiful house and it would be nice to have one like it. But the house fell into the hands of other people and they began to make changes. They tore out a chimney. They added a room on one side of the house. They took out some of the windows and added other windows. And before long, that house hardly looked like the original house. Someone decides to purchase that house and wants to restore it to its original state and beauty. Now, question, how would he be able to restore that house to its original state? Well, he would need to find the blueprint of that original house and follow it exactly, not adding to it or taking from it. If you study the Scriptures, you will find the blueprint that was given by the apostles and prophets by which the early churches were formed. Some of those churches got away from the original pattern, and the apostles worked toward bringing them back to the teaching originally given. Over time, men made their changes, and churches became something different than what was originally given by the apostles and prophets. Many churches today are not the church that Jesus established. Well, how are we going to get back to the church that Jesus built? Well, we get the blueprint, and we follow it exactly. If you have any questions about us or about anything that we have talked about today on the program, please contact us. You can call us at 573-263-4690. That's 573-263-4690. Or you may send us an email. Our email address is sjchurch@sjchurchofchrist.com. Again, that's sjchurch@sjchurchofchrist.com.
You have been listening to Bible Talk, brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. You're invited to the services of the St. James Church of Christ, Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible classes and 10:15 for worship, Sunday evening at 5 for worship, Wednesday night Bible classes at 7. The church building is located at 685 Sydney Street in St. James, where Sydney Street and Highway B intersect. Thank you for listening, and join us again next Sunday at 8:30 for Bible Talk.